A good midday from London, and welcome to The Review on Monocle 24 with me, Tyler Brulé, and Robert Bound.
Ahead in the next hour, we'll be talking books with an independent London bookseller with a Libyan past.
And from Seoul, our friend Bernie Cho will be spinning some tunes for us.
Right here on The Review, you're listening to Monocle 24.
Rob, I was actually looking for your name tag that you're wearing this morning. It should say the hardest working man in broadcasting.
I bought it off you, but I lost it.
Actually, I think it's stuck to the back of your jeans.
I like. Is it? Oh, yeah, God, there it is. I wonder what that was. It's the pin. I didn't notice it. I know. I thought we could both feel a bit like two sort of wartime entertainers.
Exactly.
Did you bring a ukulele?
I did, absolutely.
You'll be channeling George Formby. I'll be Vera Lynn.
Yeah, I've got my. I also have my burrow parked outside as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Happily, we're going over to Seoul later to keep it slightly more up to date, right?
Definitely. We should have a news check-in now. Louise Banbury is here.
Monocle 24 News, I'm Louise Banbury. Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Sultan has died, the royal court said today, opening the way for Interior Minister and reputed conservative Prince Nayef to become the likely heir apparent of the world's top oil exporter. Crown Prince Sultan bin Abdulaziz Al Saud, whose age was officially given as 80, died in New York of colon cancer. He had been a central figure in Saudi decision-making since becoming defence minister in 1962 and was made crown prince in 2005. Saudi analysts predicted an orderly transition at a time when much of the rest of the Middle East is in turmoil, as populations have risen up against their autocratic leaders. His likely successor, Prince Nayef, has been interior minister since 1975 and has managed the kingdom's day-to-day affairs during absences of both the king and crown prince. Libyans should be allowed to vote within 8 months to elect a national council that would draft a new constitution and form an interim government, Prime Minister Mahmoud Jibril said today. For now, the priority was to remove weapons from the country's streets and restore stability and order, he said at the World Economic Forum in Jordan. He said the new national council would have two tasks, to draft a new constitution on which there would be a referendum, and to form an interim government to last until the first presidential elections are held. The United Nations and human rights groups have been calling for a full investigation into the death of Libyan leader Colonel Gaddafi and voiced concerns that he may have been executed, a war crime under international law. A spokesman for Human Rights Watch, interviewed by CNN in Sirte, said this is a blemish on the new Libya that he died under suspicious circumstances. Meanwhile, the UN Security Council has opened discussions on lifting the no-fly zone it imposed over Libya in March, and envoys said they expected it would do so after consulting the new Libyan authorities. US Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said that US commitment to the democratic future of Iraq remains strong despite the withdrawal of American troops. She said, even as our troops come home, the United States' commitment to Iraq's future as a secure, stable, democratic nation remains as strong as ever. President Barack Obama vowed on Friday to pull all US troops out of Iraq by the end of the year. Hundreds of Kosovo Serbs prevented NATO troops in Kosovo from removing roadblocks on roads to two contested border crossings between the country's volatile north and Serbia earlier today, witnesses said. Tensions have mounted in the north as Kosovo's government tries to stamp its authority over this largely lawless area, home to 60,000 ethnic Serbs who want to stop Kosovo deploying its own police and customs at the Serbian border. Morocco, Togo, Guatemala and Pakistan have all been elected to the 15-nation UN Security Council for 2012 and 2013, and Islamabad's envoy said he looked forward to working with fellow new member India. The race for a fifth council seat representing Eastern Europe was adjourned until Monday after neither of the two candidates, Azerbaijan and Slovenia, was able to win a two-thirds majority of the General Assembly after 9 votes. Japanese fans flocked to Tokyo's Roppongi Hills for the opening ceremony of the 24th Tokyo International Film Festival today. Jackie Chan made an appearance to promote his film 1911, an historical drama made for the 100th anniversary of the Chinese Revolutions. He said he attended the festival to show his support for Japan as it continues to recover from the March disaster. Prime Minister Yoshihiko Noda also made a guest appearance at the festival opening. The festival, which has an ecological theme, is set to show 127 films and runs through to Sunday. Those are the top stories here at Monocle 24.
Thanks for the global news, Louise Banbury. Can I ask you a question about your other life?
Go
as
on,
a sub-editor.
Oh, yes.
Everyone knows what a sub-editor does. If they don't know, it's it's not spelling corrections. It's making everything look beautiful and
exactly.
fit onto the page, and it's all about punctuation and
yes.
crossing I's and dotting T's. How difficult is it? And it must be the worst thing ever to get for
it's
to have
terrible.
To announce that someone has colon cancer. Is that?
Yes.
It must be. It's not even. He
put, just shaming the hardest working man in broadcasting.
Come on. I thought yeah. I was going to bring my trombone in and do that. Do the punchline to that joke.
Yeah, a small correction, though, because Louise is also in charge of keeping everything in line, and she's a chief sub editor.
Yes.
I know.
Yeah.
I was just saying.
You just
not,
sub.
Not
you
just any old
sub. Yeah, exactly. She's also lobbying for chief newsreader as well.
Yeah, I think she is.
She's going to whip her boys into shape.
Yeah. Come on, that was a bit of a childish man working man in showbiz joke.
It was,
right.
It was good. I'm going to demand one every quarter of the hour.
All right.
Okay, good. I'm
Thomas Schaffernacker's got a couple up his sleeve as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Here he is with the global weather.
The weather, in association with Kuoni Travel.
The weekend weather across much of Europe will be fine, with lots of sunshine dominating the scene across France, Germany, Switzerland, into Italy as well. However, Western Britain and Ireland and the south of Spain, rain is expected here. The extended outlook for the next week will be a lot cloudier one, a wetter one, and a windier one too, especially across Western Europe. But on the positive side, it'll be much milder. Here's the weekend forecast for some of the business centres. And in London, it's warming up to 18 degrees on Sunday, sunshine expected too. In Paris, similar weather, blue skies and a few clouds with 19 degrees. In Frankfurt, morning fog, sunny afternoons, not as warm, around 13 degrees. And an additional look at some of the warmer destinations across the Mediterranean. In Athens, a very pleasant 21 with sunshine. Venice, similar conditions, 21 degrees and sunny. Monaco, the winner here at 24, but possibly a shower about. Let's have a look at Canada and the US now. A lot of good weather around this weekend in the States. Last week we had lots of rain and wind all the way from Chicago to New York City and Miami to Atlanta. A very different story this Saturday and Sunday. And the weather conditions at most major airports across the US should be good during the weekend too. So New York City is looking bright most of the time, 17 degrees. DC, sunny at 18. In Miami, 27 here in the tropics with sun and a few tropical showers, so the usual weather. The city by the bay will be very warm indeed, 28 degrees in San Francisco, hot sun, well above the average for the time of year. But in Canada, British Columbia, in for a soaking, so the weather in Vancouver is not looking good into Saturday, only 13 degrees, but by Sunday, the sun should be out again, or at least an improvement in the weather. I'm meteorologist Thomas Schaffernacker here on Monocle 24.
Están escuchando Monocle 24.
The proper Jalabert, Monocle 24.
Essa é Monocle 24.
Monocle 24, this.
Dette Monocle 24.
Das ist Monocle 24.
Det her Monocle 24.
This is Monocle 24.
This is Monocle 24.
You're back with the review on Monocle 24, the maiden voyage for the review. Should we tell people what it's going to be all about? The style of the show?
Why not?
It's a relaxed Saturday look.
It is.
At the week ahead, but quite a lot of the week past. We're reviewing the week past.
Yeah, and we're nudging people out of bed on the US East Coast. 7 a.m., you might want to turn to your regular NPR or CBC station or something, but...
You might want to try something new.
Absolutely.
Good morning. Good morning, America.
Yes, good morning, America. Good morning, Canada.
Good evening. Yeah. Good evening, Asia.
And good morning, Brazil, as well.
You're looking at that with a haughty stare.
Well, I am,
magazine.
Because I think this is a story that concerns you. This is the cover of the Times magazine. That would be the London Times. It's Invasion of the Killer Heels. Talk about a very modern form of torture.
Is that what it is? A very modern form of
Because there's not enough other forms of torture going on around the world. So no. I'm glad that they devoted the cover
They're taking
to that.
That seriously.
At least the front page of the newspaper, though, the going back to the Times of London this morning, we've got... them telling you that Syrians tell Assad that you'll be the next to go. Death of Gaddafi inspires revolts elsewhere.
I know it's a strange thing. Do we think that it's? Do we think the copycat can go on? Do we think the dominoes can keep falling?
I think that Syria is going to be sort of I think the most tricky of the ones to definitely dislodge.
It's kind of one of those things. The smaller, the finer and smaller the moustache, the crueler the regime.
Exactly.
you know, because Muammar and Saddam had, they were bushy, but they fell.
Yes.
And it's the other ones that are more difficult to dislodge.
Yeah, and I think that Gaddafi was quite difficult to dislodge as well, because, you know, also the wackier the outfit as well.
Exactly.
That's true. I think the more eccentric, the more difficult.
There's a Venn diagram in this.
there very well might be. should we have a little break right now?
Every month, the Monocle shop unveils a new collection of collaborations available on monocle.com and in our shops in London, New York, Hong Kong, Beijing, Tokyo, and Osaka. This month sees a range of new bags added to our collection from Porter of Japan, a new blazer from London-based designer Oliver Spencer, as well as our regular lineup of stationery, CDs, posters, and books. Pop into our shops or visit us online at shop.monocle.com.
You're back with The Review with Tyler Brulé and Robert Bounds.
What have we got next? We've got an item.
We have an item.
It's a new feature on The Review.
It is, absolutely. We're going to go to... Well, are you a little bit upset because it might be borrowing some elements from your wonderful culture program, which was great. I haven't sort of told you in a one-on-one forum. I mean, maybe you want me to say it in a bigger room.
No, that's all right. Let's have a meeting here.
Yeah.
So, come on.
No, I thought the show was great this week.
The culture show.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, that show.
I thought it was all the other ones.
No, your program. It was very, very good.
Thank you. It was good. No, this is all right, though. This is a bit of... There's no mission creep in having books on all the shows.
No, absolutely.
There's plenty of books to go around, I think.
No, the idea is that, of course, we like to celebrate and of course, support independent booksellers around the world. And we're going to go... may not happen every week, but we can do it with record stores and we can do it with all kinds of outlets.
Fishmonger?
That's my program.
What the fishmongers say.
Did you hear the fish package that Steve Bodson did from Chile?
No, I didn't, but I heard it was very good.
You can download it online at monocle.com.
Which show is that? The Globalist?
No, there'll be The Menu, Rob.
All right, the menu, of course.
Yeah, 1900. Friday evenings.
You got it.
Anyway, here's a little look at bookstores in Auckland, San Francisco, and Paris.
The Village Voice Bookshop, it's a bookshop in the heart of Saint-Germain-des-Prés in Paris, not very far from the famous Saint-Germain-des-Prés and Saint-Sulpice, but per week. I would say that we have two titles which are going to fly very soon, the Steve Jobs title and, of course, 1Q84 by Murakami. Those two, we know that they are going to fly off the shelves. Now, the ones that we have been selling very well recently, it's The Hair with Amber Eyes by Duval. This has been really one of our best sellers. We have already sold very well, and we continue to sell, a book that we love very much here. It's a book by Nicole Krauss, Great House. This is a book we love very much. It's about the same subject as in Duval. It's about loss and memory. Another one we have been selling very well, it's André Aciman, you see here on the tables.
Hello, my name is Jenna Todd. I'm the assistant manager at Time Out Bookstore in Auckland, New Zealand. Our window at the moment, of course, it's the Rugby World Cup, so we've got a few rugby books in there, but we also want to showcase the new New Zealand titles at the moment. So we've got a window bursting of amazing New Zealand books and cookbooks and books about rugby as well to attract tourists' eye as they walk past the store. The best book that have just come out, which is Free Range in the City by Annabelle Langbein, Stoked by Al Brown, and the Moulton Cookbook from the restaurant down the road, Moulton. With adults, there's a book called in the Ginger series called How to Watch a Game of Rugby, and that's actually sold really well. The books that we've been pushing a lot in the past few weeks, one is called Once Upon a River by Bonnie Jo Williams. A bunch of us at the store have read this and love it. It's such a good classic story about a girl who lives on the side of the river in Michigan and shoots deer and skins them and hangs them from trees and gets herself into mischief with men. She's quite irresistible, but it's such a fantastic story. Also at the moment, what's doing really well is Pigeon English by Stephen Kelman. This was shortlisted for the Booker. Didn't win, but it's got really good reviews in the New Zealand media recently, so people have been buying that up in the weekends and things. A new one that we've got that's really good dark story is Ed King by David Gutterson, and this looks like one of the favourites for Christmas.
Okay, my name is Michael Steppen at Alexander Book Company in downtown San Francisco. Books that for us that have been really popular and people are excited about are books on the financial crisis, and people are really trying to understand what happened. And two books that are we've been selling a lot of are the books by Michael Lewis, The Big Short and Boomerang. Both are kind of stories about people that were involved in the crisis and telling their perspective and their story. Book that I would really recommend that I enjoyed a lot is The Art of Fielding by Chad Harbach. It's a novel, a baseball novel, a book about friends and college and the struggles to do anything well in life. And if you like Jonathan Franzen, I think you'd probably like that novel. Books that we're really excited about that are just coming out now are the Steve Jobs biography by Walter Isaacson, and also the Haruki Murakami 1Q84. It's his novel, a re-look at Orwell's 1984. And those are some books that we're pretty excited about here.
And that's what the booksellers have been saying around the world. Time Out Bookstore in Auckland and Alexander Book Company in San Francisco and the Village Voice Bookshop in Paris. All quite sort of cozy places for an...
And very cozy.
Yeah, for late October.
Some nice sound-ups in there, but ringing bells, doorbells.
But I've never been to Auckland, but I got the sense of Auckland. I definitely got the sense of San Francisco in late October, and Paris just sounded, yeah, perfect for a little Saturday afternoon stroll.
No? Very nice, down through Saint-Germain.
Absolutely. But we thought we'd also keep it in London as well and see what's happening and what some recommendations might be, and also open up the discussion slightly to a broader level as well. Ghassan Fergiani is owner of the cozy England's Lane bookshop in North London. He champions the community and family-owned bookshops, and in fact, his family has run the business in a very interesting way, and also is quite an interesting story. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
I thought maybe talk us maybe through the start of this this book journey for your family.
Well, it started back in Libya in 1950s when my father fell in love with books when he was a young child, even though at the time not many people in Libya were educated. As a child, he saw somebody with a book, and he didn't know what was. And he asked the question, what's that? They told him it was a book. Where do you get a book? You get it from the scuola, the Italians. And he went to his parents, and he cried till they put him in a scuola. And he chose his education that way. At a time, not many people went to school in Libya. Actually, they fought the Italians in that because it was a form of fighting. Anyways, he loved books, and he became a teacher, and then he started his own bookshop from the old books he had, and he grew it by contacting publishers in Egypt and Lebanon, and just grew a little bit, little by little, until he ended up with having about 4 bookshops in Libya. One of them was English language in the 70s. Then the Gaddafi regime came and said, you can do that no more. My father moved to London in 1980. He started a publishing company, and then I joined him here in 1994. We opened our first bookshop in West Hampstead. And 10 years later, we opened our second bookshop in Queen's Park area. And the third shop was just a couple of months before my father passed away in January of this year.
And before we talk about the bookshop itself and the atmosphere of the bookshop, it sounds like a great place. It does sound cozy. It sounds like if we made an audio package in your bookshop, it would sound similar to those ones. But I wanted to know, coming out of Libya, where you said that, you know, your father, you know, there were very few books around in Italian or in Arabic, I suppose.
Yes.
Was that the sort of place growing up where one book would become phenomenally successful or be passed around from, you know, from friends and family? Was there any one sort of hit novel?
Well, I think at the time when I was growing up, I can remember, we used to exchange books, me and all my friends, you know, as a teenager. So we had all these kind of, you know, adventure books and magazines and comics, and all that stuff were translated into Arabic. So it people were hungry for it. Unfortunately, in Libya, when Gaddafi came, he stopped everything. We stopped importing books. We stopped choosing books. And he kind of drained everything from everybody. So the next few generations in Libya, became, I wouldn't say ignorant, you know, but they were thirsty until the internet and the international thing came about, and that helped the people.
I wanted to ask, so your father came to London in 1980,
yes.
And then you came in 94. Were you in Libya before that? Or
no, I left Libya in 1979, and I went to study in the United States. Then I ended up spending 22 years of my life there.
Right.
I haven't.
That's a long course, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And then the next 10 years, I spent them here. So 2/3 of my life spent outside of Libya because of him.
And what is the speciality of the bookshop? We're hearing the package and people selling certain copies of this and that and the other.
Well, we're a general bookshop. Mm-hmm. We don't specialize in anything. We try to be, as much as possible, everything to everybody, but you cannot do that. In each bookshop, it has its own manager. They order their own books. And we listen to the customers. What the customers want, we try to bring more of. And we have a personal relationship with our customers. A lot of our customers are known by name to us, and they know our staff by name. They listen to our recommendations. We know what they like, and we can recommend things based on their likes and experience with them. We are family-oriented in a way that a lot of our customers bring their children, and we do family stories. We do book groups. We reach out to schools. So we're trying to be a community place. I think that the time of where you build the shelves and bring the books is not enough anymore. Mm-hmm. It's so competitive out there that we have to have personal service all the time. Every customer is special to us.
And is that something you learn with the history of, you know, say, books being a scarcity in Libya? Do you have a sort of special relationship with these things that is something you can only have with a piece of paper and a hardback book or a paperback book, but specifically a book rather than an e-book?
Well, I haven't tried e-books yet. I've seen them, but I love that.
They make a good tray. They're quite a good tray. If we wanted to serve tea, you know, that's all right.
Yeah. I like the smell of books, of course. When I was growing up, I worked in my father's bookshops, and now I have my kids working in our bookshops as well. And I used to go in the storage areas and spend a lot of time looking for books that I haven't seen before. I remember a story when I was little in the warehouse. I went in one of the rooms, and I got locked in because the people forgot about me, that I was there looking for old books. But eventually got me out.
I wanted to ask you, just because you've got these, you know, three, you know, very intimate bookstores, I'm wondering, did you learn any lessons also in the States? Because, you know, by the time you came over, we saw the rise of the mega bookstore, you know, the likes of obviously Borders, which is no longer with us in the U.S. So, having sort of seen that retail transformation in the States, has it taught you a few lessons about what you need to do here? And not that I'm saying you're going to become the next Barnes & Noble.
No. The only thing I know is customer service is very important. And customer service can mean many things. We try to use technology to help our customers find the books they want. I tell my staff is never say no to a customer. Don't say we don't carry this book. We will do our best to find what you're looking for. Some books a lot of books are coming out of print because it's very expensive to produce books these days. So I think the second-hand book market is booming because of that, you know. And I don't know, a lot of the customers who want these books, they're not using the technology, the Kindles and the e-books.
I just, we're almost out of time, but before we go, I see that you're wearing, of course, the pin of the former flag from the Kingdom of Libya on your lapel. What are your hopes for what we've seen, you know, over the past few months, but, you know, definitely over the last 48 hours and where things go?
I'm very hopeful. I'm very happy. You know, after this 42 years that happened in Libya, it can only go up, you know. When they say things have to hit rock bottom before they go up, they hit rock bottom in Libya. And Libya has been liberated. It's the symbol is the flag. The flag of Libya been hidden for 42 years, right? And I thought 42 years, people who are 42 years were born under Gaddafi. They didn't know the flag. Mm. They thought he did everything. And as soon as it happens, the flag came out like the flowers come after the flood, you know. It came up, I didn't believe it. It's really, really amazing feeling. It's a promise for what Libya is going to be. And hopefully it's going to have a bright future.
Great. Mr. Feghiani, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Ghassan Feghiani of England's Lane Books. You're listening to The Review in London on Monocle 24. We're back after this.
J.Crew is thrilled to be shipping across the pond to our customers in the UK. You can shop our famous collection of cashmere and wardrobe staples for men, women and children. At jcrew.com, you can always expect impeccable quality, design integrity and flawless customer service every time you shop. Visit jcrew.com for the full story.
Keep abreast of everything from breaking news to fresh business opportunities with Monocle 24's lineup of live weekday current affairs programmes. The Globalist kicks off our day at 6 a.m. UK time with 2 hours of news, media reviews, weather and reports from our correspondents around the world. At midday UK time, The Briefing helps the North American East Coast get into gear with a brisk review of news and analysis. And at 18:30 UK time, Midori House gets a first read on stories hitting Asia's front pages and does a roundup with Monocle's editors. Finally, the Monocle Daily signs on for 2 hours at 2200 with a mix of our editors and special guest anchors to start the day in Asia. Keep an eye and an ear on the world, right here on Monocle 24.
And this is the first ever review on Monocle 24. I'm Rob Bound. I'm with Tyler Brûlé. And we're going on the line to our mate, a Monocle friend.
Very much so.
A mate, a proper bosom buddy.
Yes, definitely. And I saw him in Seoul about 2 weeks ago. We were there for an opening at Shinsegae, a little project they did. And he was there rather late.
Well, that's his byline, isn't
it? It is.
That's his byword for lateness. Bernie Cho. Bernie, I think you're on the line.
I am on the line. I heard the whole thing.
The whole thing? What, the intro?
I forgot to mention fashionably late, so okay. I think I'm forgiven.
I'm glad you call it that. So how is everything in Seoul? Are you? Is it still the midnight oil burning, rock and rolling, late nighting place that we all know and love it as?
It is indeed, but as you've parked me here tonight on a Saturday night, I've decided to spend a little time with you guys in a nice quiet confines rather than a noisy club. So thank you pulling me out from the front lines.
We'll give you a matter of minutes of quietness, Bernie. I wanted to also, if you could introduce yourself, you are the president of DFSB Collective. Tyler, when he saw this on the script, had a question mark. He wondered who we'd booked in.
Yeah, I thought there was a problem because I just saw a guest DFSB. I thought that was Duty Free Stores of Busan. And I thought, no, that's we didn't want a retail segment. That must be a sideline, right?
No. So, yeah.
Bernie's branching out. But to introduce DFSB Collective, you are a major media player in sort of Seoul's sort of digital music and promo and artist sort of relations. This is a sort of one-size-fits-all agency that you are president of, Bernie, right?
Yes, we have a very small team trying to do a lot of big things in a very little amount of time, so...
You sound like the government.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, and it sort of sounds familiar to all things we're trying to do here as well.
Exactly. But first up, you're going to play us a song. We're going to go. We're going to have some news at the bottom of the hour, but you're going to play us a track first, Bernie. Can you introduce that for us?
Yes, actually, this is a new single from Tableau, who's mostly known as being the lead singer for the hip-hop trio Epic High. This song is actually ironically called Bad, but it's actually very, very good, and it features vocals from Jinshil from Mad Soul Child.
Hooray!
Earlier in the hour. And this song from his new album has basically taken over number one across the board here in Korea and has actually just debuted in the top 20 of the iTunes Hip Hop Rap Album chart in the U.S. So, at the moment, right now here in Seoul, this is probably the hottest track hitting the airwaves, Tableau with Bad.
뭔가 달라졌대 모두 내가 변했대 잠정이 많았던 내가 언젠가 좀 차가워졌대 나쁘다
사람은 참 나 That Bernie Cho certainly knows how to make a boy happy, doesn't he, Rob?
He certainly does. Well, you were doing something with your chair. Is that dancing?
Yeah, it's called a Vitra swivel.
That's it. You need to patent that. There'll be people after that.
I love it. Bertie, we're going to come back to you. That was fantastic. But we're just a little beyond the bottom of the hour. Here's Louise Banbury with a scan of the headlines.
Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Sultan has died of colon cancer in New York. He was in his 80s. It's widely expected that his successor will be the reputed conservative Prince Nayef. Libyan Prime Minister Mahmoud Jibril said he expected to step down today. He also said that Libyans should be allowed to vote within 8 months to elect a new national council. The United Nations and human rights groups have been calling for a full investigation into the death of Libyan leader Colonel Gaddafi and voiced concerns that he may have been executed. US Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said that US commitment to the democratic future of Iraq remains strong, despite the withdrawal of American troops by the end of the year. Hundreds of Kosovo Serbs have prevented NATO troops from removing roadblocks at two contested border crossings between Kosovo's north and Serbia. Morocco, Togo, Guatemala and Pakistan have all been elected to the 15-nation UN Security Council, and Islamabad's envoy said he looked forward to working with fellow new member India. And Japanese fans flocked to Tokyo's Roppongi Hills for the opening ceremony of the 24th Tokyo International Film Festival. Those are the headlines here at Monocle 24.
Thank you very much, Louise Banbury.
Yes, thank you.
Dulcet as ever. We're going to go back on the line now to Seoul and speak with Bernie. Bernie, hi.
How you doing?
We love the tableau track in here. Tyler was trying to patent a new dance move that involves a chair and a shimmy. this is when you're glad you don't have a webcam.
Well, no, because that track sort of surprises you because you think it's got some sort of like, it almost sounds a little bit folky, and then it goes into a bit of a rap thing, and then, but of course, you know, it's just got that lovely sort of catchy, pure, it's almost, and Rob, it's just a purely Korean engineered hook that it has, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. It does sound like that. And Tableau, am I right, Bernie, he's the sort of lead singer from Epic High. He's one of three of Epic High. And these are a group that have made a proper kind of trans-Pacific sort of power play, right? They are scoring big in the U.S. charts as well.
That's correct. They're actually the first Korean act to actually debut an album number one in the U.S. They actually, with their last album, hit number one in the iTunes hip-hop rap album chart. And so while, you know, all these different Korean acts have all been trying to go overseas, they were really the first to really break out of the gates and hit number one. And it wasn't just in the U.S., but in a variety of different countries. And what's really interesting is sort of the style and the formula and really the flavor that they went at it. They decided to just stick with what they do best, which is create their songs in Korean, but with a splash of English. And it really proved that at times music can be a universal language. So it was encouraging to see that it's becoming more and more a regular thing rather than the exception.
Cool, Bernie. Well, I think you've got something else queued up for us as well back there. What's the next track?
Yes, I think these days when a lot of people think about K-pop and Korean music, it's often sort of in the context of be it boy bands or girl bands. The next act that I want to kind of line up is a band called Telepathy. They're a trio that I would maybe go so far as to call maybe an anti-boy band. They're definitely good-looking enough to be a boy band, but the way they thrash their synthesizers, laptops, and guitars, my money's on them to pretty much beat up any other boy band out there right now. So this is a single from their critically acclaimed album, Big Wave, which was voted one of the 10 best albums of 2010. These boys are in the studios about to release a new album, but this was sort of their hit single from that album called Fantastic Love.
You with the review here on Monocle 24. That was Telepathy from Seoul, and we're on the line with Bernie Cho from DFSB Collective in that fine city of late nights and anti-boy bands, Bernie. That's what you reckon about that, right?
Yeah, these are one of the few guys that when you look at the dark circles under their eyes, it's not because they're wearing mascara or they're wearing eyeliner. It's because these guys party so hard late at night, or maybe even at times have gotten a bit of a scuffle. So, if I had to look for a boy band 2.0 act, I think these guys might be it.
So do you think this would sort of be, you know, the type of crowd that are like, you know, punching the shit out of people in Itaewon?
No, these guys pretty much, they pretty much bring down the house in Hongdae. The art school district. They're definitely becoming more of a festival favorite these days because, again, besides being good looking, they separate themselves by the fact that they actually play their own instruments and they don't like to dance. So I find that very refreshing.
I thought that was illegal. I thought if you took to the stage in Korea, you had to. It was all about high tops and dance moves
and mascara.
And mascara.
Yes, definitely.
Bernie's not going to be moved on that, is he? He doesn't.
No, no,
he's
no.
Not discuss
he didn't
that.
Like that. Just Bernie, because I'm sure we're interrupting your evening. Is it true that they've closed our favorite bar? Because when we were in Apgujeong, whatever, 2 weeks ago after that event at Shinsegae, we tried to go to Lupin, and all the goodies were in the bar, but the lights weren't on.
Yeah, you know what? I have a feeling that week when we were all trying to go out looking for drinks, all the hotspots I think had given themselves a little bit of a vacation. Because they had all run down to Busan for the film festival.
Good point.
And so I realized that, you know, all of my drinking spots and holes were all basically off for the week. And when I realized the reason why was they were all down in Busan getting silly, drinking and watching movies. So I have to remind myself next year on the calendar to head down to Busan.
Absolutely. You have to telex us next time if all of our favorite places are closed.
I like the idea of telex is very Lupin technology as well.
It is.
That's exactly what it is. Bernie, we're going to let you get back out to the noise. Bernie Cho, our ears in Seoul, thank you very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Cheers, Bernie.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Review on Monocle 24. We're back after this.
J.Crew is thrilled to be shipping across the pond to our customers in the UK. You can shop our famous collection of cashmere and wardrobe staples for men, women and children. At jcrew.com, you can always expect impeccable quality, design integrity and flawless customer service every time you shop. Visit jcrew.com for the full story.
From the end of October, you'll be able to download Monocle's first app, featuring our Monocle 24 radio player, daily monocolumn feed and our global 25/25 city guide series. With its unique time shift device to spool through programmes, you can either listen live or catch up on anything you might have missed via our archive. The Monocle app, available from the end of October via iTunes, is brought to you in association with Rolex.
Están escuchando Monocle 24.
The Propajalavert, Monocle 24.
Essa é Monocle 24.
Monocle 24, this.
Detta är Monocle 24.
Das ist Monocle 24.
Det här är Monocle 24.
This is Monocle 24.
This is Monocle 24.
Indeed, it is Monocle 24, and this is The Review with Robert Bound and Tyler Brulé. Do you think people can tell who's who?
No.
No.
That was good.
That was shit.
You heard, the mics are so good, they picked up my scratchy pencil.
It did.
Frantically writing a note.
What does it say?
Abandoned.
Abandoned. Don't give it away. That's the song that's coming up.
No, I'm not
referring
to that.
This is going to be my favorite part of the session.
The upcoming magazine discussion with our creative director, Richard Spencer Powell.
Yeah, and there's nothing is there anything better than a Saturday afternoon, you know, coming up to what, 1 o'clock here in London, and just have it surrounded by your favorite magazines. I'm not sure about The Grocer, though.
I love that. What's
but
doing
we'll
there?
Talk about The Grocer in a moment. But you know, everyone does their reviews of the newspapers, but we're going to make magazine reviews a key part of the diet here on Monocle 24, this program, and maybe a couple of others.
Can I just quickly tantalize people before we go
about
to that
The Grocer?
Track?
Please
about
do.
The Grocer, well, the headline of which is, "We wanted to set a personal best for the cereal bar category."
But yeah. Can you also? But they've got Rich. They've got a half cover on it as well, and
flap.
They've got a flap, and but is that an ad with that woman in the red top unbuttoned, and is she nicking something?
She's stealing some Ariel automatic from the supermarket shelf.
Outrageous.
Feeling the pinch, cheese tops most stolen grocery list. Imagine. This is literally like a.
This is
does
great.
This really exist?
Yeah.
Is this really?
I mean, just for everyone. I mean, you,
it's like someone's leaving card.
Yeah,
isn't
you
it?
you can obviously gather what the magazine is about. But it's a trade title. And it's, it's of course focuses on the food retail industry. But here's a woman with kind of a fake Balenciaga handbag, and she's stealing a big bottle of Ariel. But anyway, it's not cheese, though.
No, it's kind of strange. I don't know why they've illustrated a cheese-stealing story with stealing washing up liquid or washing powder.
Anyway, good morning, Richard. Good afternoon at this point.
Good afternoon.
There's tons of things here which are post-it noted, et cetera. What do you want to start with?
Yeah, it looks like you got a pretty good smorgasbord of print here. I put a few things in, the kind of good, the bad, and the ugly, and I'll let you decide.
Okay.
What's what?
So, what have you liked over the last week and month?
Well, I bought in a classic. I bought in The Gentlewoman, which is not that new, but it's the current issue. A design mag called Slanted, because there's a fantastic football fan story in there, which I know you like. And then a bit of a curveball for you. This magazine, which I got put onto last time I was in Berlin, called I Like My Style. Mm. And I think you'll like this tagline. It's the first user-generated fashion magazine.
Oh, you know I love user-generated content.
I know. I mean, I know you love blogging, and when you're not blogging, you're tweeting. And
yep.
I think, is that you, Tyler, or is that your avatar here in the studio? Anyway, I Like My Style is a print publication based off the back of a website, which is a fashion social network site. Anyway, I know it's the kind of thing we're not quite into, but I thought as a talking point, it'd be quite interesting.
Well, and yeah, just the general migration of, well, probably from a revenue point of view, they had to go into print to make money.
Well, Chanel are on board and so are Diesel, and that's about it, unless they actually uploaded them, those ads themselves. And there's a few scares in here, to say the least, but you can actually log on and be part of it online, and then you can end up actually being the cover model, which is going to be my...
Are you doing that right now? Yeah, I'm logging on now. Can you hear?
That's going to be my mission next week. I'm going to try and get Take on the cover of this thing, which I'm sure he'll be well capable of.
Yeah.
But joking aside, they actually won a major award in Hamburg last week, or the week before. They won Best Newcomer, so I thought there's enough Vogue titles around the world, and these plucky guys in, I don't know, Mitter or Kreuzberg in Berlin have put together something and actually got it out on the newsstand. So it's probably not our thing. Maybe it is the ugly of the good, the bad, and the ugly. But Rob, there's a few things in there I think you'll appreciate.
Well, I like this. I like Mr. Potato Head, obviously. That's always good. And vegetable fashion. This is an eyewear story we're looking at right now, which essentially looks a bit like sort of like the Wicker Man, or a bit like the Harvest Festival. There's a man made of onions, old onion face. He's wearing a pair of glasses by Alexander McQueen.
I was going to ask you, Rich, when you mentioned Mitte and Kreuzberg in Berlin, do you feel that, you know, there continues to be this upsurge, though, of interesting publishing that's coming out of Berlin, and a lot of it has to do with the economics? I mean, I do get the sense that also, you know, that German printers and probably repro houses are just, they're more keen to have interesting portfolio pieces than, you know, if you went to talk to somebody in New York or in London.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the last time I was there, I mean, I love it. And one of the reasons I love it is, you know, it's just got a really fresh approach to print. And they don't seem to be jaded. They just seem to like starting things up, and no one seems to get, you know, too heavy about things. If it lasts, it lasts. If not, it gets replaced by something.
It's jumping down the tracks from Berlin to Hamburg, and I thought it was interesting because you brought in Stern, and I feel that there's a real turning point because, you know, for many, many years now, sort of Stern has, you know, continued to redefine itself, but it just has this wonderful cover, you know, beautiful image of a very sort of freckly woman, slightly sort of, you know, side lit, Liebeskummer, das unterschätzte Leiden. It's and so as we're flipping through, and I didn't even realize that, you know, who had sort of, you know, wound up in Hamburg, but it's our good friend Dominik Wickman, who used to be at Süddeutsche Zeitung in Munich on their magazine side. And you can feel his editorial touch in there. And I hope this marks a real comeback for Stern, because it's a wonderful cover for Newsweekly. You know, it's what you would want to, you know, to certainly sort of have on your lap and be holding if you're on Deutsche Bahn or wherever you are in the world.
Yeah, no, I mean, the reason I like that is it's the cover is fantastic. It's one of those ones that just makes you pick it up. And, you know, when you look at that against the current, this week's sort of Bloomberg Business Week cover, which is a sort of, it's a good idea to do something about, you know, jobs and, you know, Apple, but just the execution on the sort of nasty peeling Apple, it just puts you off. I just don't want to pick that cover up. I mean, I don't want to pick that magazine up based on that cover judgment. And often that's how fast that judgment happens.
Yeah.
That is just an example of a really beautiful-looking cover. It's exquisite.
Robert, I don't know if you think there's, but you know, Stern continues, and of course Der Spiegel does it as well. But there's that German Newsweekly paper, which you almost felt they've patented. It gives it heft. The trim size is good, and I will. You know,
there's something about the scent of it as well. There's something about that kind of
halfway between gloss and matte. I don't know what you call it, Rich, but it's kind of, and it's got that, it can take, it seems to be able to take quite a lot of ink, but it's still glossy, and it's got that really nice smell to it. And it does fit, it has to be a weekly with that sort of,
I think I've always sort of feel with the German news weeklies, you know, still to this day, that they've got that wonderful tension between being something that you want to collect still, that, you know, you still keep your old copies of Stern and Der Spiegel when they've got epic covers. But there's something about that paper as well that still brings it closer, because it's not like The Economist or, as Rich, as you were saying, Business Week. You know, it's still a little bit more newspapery in a way. So it gives it a different type of immediacy.
Yeah, but it doesn't crease as well. It's very crisp. It feels like it'll last you, you know. It doesn't kind of get dog-eared so soon.
It's funny talking about the covers as well. Having done the story on Der Spiegel last year, and, you know, they're obviously not best mates with Stern at all, and are critical of their cover choices.
My tower is bigger than yours.
Well, precisely, exactly. It is a bit of a big tower contest, I think. And there, having visited the offices of Der Spiegel, there were five people just in the cover department, and they were looking to recruit a sixth. And that's a German weekly news magazine. And the covers, you know, they're not that phenomenally creative, I'd suggest. You know, they're good. Sometimes they're iconic, but probably off the back of a fairly iconic piece of news.
Yes, exactly.
So for a cover department of six,
I'm going to throw you.
Rich is kind of going green with envy there.
I'm going to throw you a challenge, Rob. Get us from Hamburg back to Korea with a song. Also, you know, I feel like, actually, you know what? I feel also you're running a little bit of deficit here, because what happened to the greatest and hardest working man in broadcasting?
Oh, well, I was meant to do a joke.
Yeah, we're down to zinger so far.
Is that?
I think you promised me one every quarter of the hour.
I'm sorry. I'm very
sorry. We're coming up to 10 to the hour, 10 to 1 in London anyway.
Well, I abandoned my post. I abandoned my post as the hardest working man in showbiz. I gave up that to you, Tyler. and that's the segue. This song is again from Korea, Abandoned. That was Abandoned by Jay Park.
Also known as Spank.
Also known, I wrote it down as Spank. That's my writing. And as our producer Paul Noble pointed out through the glass, the Korean Craig David. Remember him, remember him, remember him. You're listening to The Review on Monocle 24 with me, Robert Bound, Tyler Relay, and our creative director, Richard Spencer Powell, who's talking magazines. He's got a number of volumes, post-it noted, To the nines, I'd suggest.
Yeah, a little bit.
What's up next, Rich?
Well, staying in Germany is a design magazine called Slanted. It's sort of dual language, English and German. It's one I've been keeping my eye on for a little while now. Ever since they did a bright yellow cover with "The Revolution Will Not Be Typeset in Garamond" as its main cover line, which kind of which was a kind of, you know, typesetter's dream, I'm sure.
I love that.
That might not excite you, but it did me anyway. So I've been keeping my eye on it, and This latest issue about experimental type, it's, I mean, not the strongest of issues, but there's a fantastic story in here, a photo essay on Borussia Dortmund football fans.
And oh, wow, this is
brilliant.
If you think we've done some good expos, have a little look at this.
That is, wow.
Which is some of the, some classic German styling of mullets and...
Whoa.
Some quite interesting trouser choice there that I think even our illustrious fashion director wouldn't quite be able to pull off.
Yeah, these are some people that basically look like, this would look a bit like a pearly king and queen almost. So it's kind of like covered in yellow and red stripes. They look like sort of huge mulleted football fan wasps, right?
Yeah, yeah. Uber obsessive.
Uber obsessive. Is that German for very obsessive?
I think it might be.
Well done.
I mean, one of the best images is a Dortmund fan, but he's got an FC Bayern sort of doily
butt patch.
Butt patch.
But just in case they lose.
I mean, it's just, yeah. And so he's just exposing his ass with this FC Bayern.
I think it keeps him warm when he's sat in his.
Probably. It's a great. It's just, that is a great story. I wanted to ask you though. Do you think that you know, as we've been, you know, continuing to look at, you know, what's happening with media internationally, you know, over the last 5 years, that Germany is resilient when it comes to CD sales. Bookstores are holding up, and you know, do you think part of it as well is that, you know, going back to, it all starts at ground level, because, you know, if you've got printers and you have, you know, various suppliers that are willing to help young publishers, you know, then, you know, then you've, of course, you have almost a proper sort of, you know, league system in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's I always find there's just something about there's a sort of slight innocence or just not quite overconfidence, but there's just belief when they so many of these printed projects that come out. I'm sure in England or the States, we try and raise too much money to launch them and do too many focus groups and try and promote them and push them. But I think in Germany, things are just set up nice and quietly and just released out to the general public. And I think there's a fondness for that. And I think that's why it's one of the most exciting, you know, cities and certainly areas where publishing is really, you know, thriving, I would suggest. And if you're, you know, young type of, you know, publishing designer, it's an absolutely great environment to work in.
Like you.
Like me.
I wondered also, I mean, having scanning so much media, so many magazines, would you see in the last sort of 2, 3, 4 years, in terms of the fashion shoots, whether you see in harder times, whether the styling of fashion is more obvious and more buyable and more like a catalogue, or whether it becomes more ephemeral and highfalutin, and where magazines have to sort of really set themselves apart on their fashion?
I think the main problem we have with fashion and fashion photography, and it's something we, you know, from the outset of Monocle, we absolutely tried to avoid, is that fashion has to reinvent itself all the time. And that, I think, becomes a problem for people because they just constantly have to try and find new ways of repackaging the same kind of content. Hence, you end up with, you know, lots of just craziness out there and very few people sort of taking, you know, a pause and looking at this and actually saying, you know what, we don't need any of this, and actually let's just do something that's quite normal. So I think fashion magazine industries, I think it's at quite a low point, and we'll get on to my next magazine, which I think is a good example of going against that, because it's just kind of just regurgitating itself continuously, and in the end that just becomes a grayness. You just don't take in anything anymore.
Well, I'm afraid, Rich, I can see we're going to have to keep your next magazine a secret, and we're going to have to keep it sort of under wraps for your next appearance, possibly on The Review or one of the other shows.
Absolutely,
in the week.
Absolutely, because you can see that...
Because we're running up to the top of the hour.
Yeah, the minutes are absolutely ticking down. That is all for this first edition of The Review. How is it for you?
It's pretty nice. I'm sorry to abandon my post as the hardest working man in showbiz.
it's all right.
Pick it up next time.
Yeah, definitely. Today's show was produced by Gillian Tobias, and our studio manager was Paul Noble here at Midori House in London. News is coming up next at the top of the hour, and of course we're back with our next big live segment tomorrow with the 2-hour Monocle Weekly. Goodbye.